bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Our in-house sophologist, Adam Carr, joins us to give us a bit of an update on how he thinks the election campaign is going. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning.
How is it going? We've still got, it seems endless. We've got weeks and weeks to go yet, but...
Well, we're over the hump. We've got 3 weeks to go.
Yes.
Go
on.
And things seem to have stalled. We've had three national opinion polls this week, and they've all shown a 50-50 result. So at the moment, the election is a dead heat and not moving much in either direction.
How important are preferences going to be in you know, the seats that everyone's looking at on the Labor side and the Coalition side, probably about 30 seats that people are looking at. How important are preferences going to be there? And particularly, you know, we've had the discussion, we were speaking to Michael Kroger later, but preferences between the Libs and the Greens, is that going to impact many seats?
Well, just take the first bit of your question. Virtually all of those 30 seats will be decided on preferences. The long-term trend in Australian politics has been for the vote for the two major parties to decline and more and more voters voting for minor parties and independents. So at every election, preferences count for more. Now, on the left side of politics, broadly speaking, for the last 10 years or so, Labor has relied on Green preferences. The Greens poll maybe 5-10% in most seats, and the Greens put out a How to Vote card asking their voters to give their second preferences to Labor, and about 80% of Greens preferences, in fact, go to Labor. And Labor wins a large number of its marginal seats, both federal and state, on the basis of getting those preferences from the Greens. So any suggestion that those preferences won't go to Labor is obviously, from Labor's point of view, quite alarming.
Has there been any movement, Adam, on the popularity ratings of Malcolm Turnbull and Bill Shorten? I know Malcolm Turnbull's been heading downwards at a fairly rapid spiral.
There's been a long trend. He had a very strong sort of honeymoon over the summer, and then particularly once the election campaign actually started, his personal standing has been dropping. Although that now seems to have stabilised in the last week or so, the latest round of polls don't show much further drop. On the other hand, Bill Shorten's approval ratings have gone up, which often happens with opposition leaders during election campaigns, because that's when an opposition leader finally gets to show their stuff. For most of the time, the opposition leader is seen as this sort of negative, carping person, and they often get very negative ratings. But then when the election campaign starts, people start focusing on the opposition leader. And so Bill Shorten's ratings have gone up. Turnbull is still regarded as preferred prime minister by the polls, but not by nearly as wide a margin as he was a few months ago. So that is certainly a worry for the coalition, that Turnbull's standing, which was so high over the summer and made him look absolutely unbeatable, has dropped so sharply.
With one of the seats I'm interested in, although I wouldn't call it marginal, but New England, Barnaby Joyce and Tony Windsor. You probably watched the Q&A, the disaster that was, I think, for Barnaby Joyce, and then the other night telling someone in a local pub to piss off.
Not a good look.
But is Barnaby really under threat? Have we seen any polling on how Tony Windsor's going?
No, I haven't seen any polling. If you look at the betting market, people think that the punters seem to think that Barnaby will be re-elected. Mm-hmm. Tony Windsor's been away for 3 years. He certainly has, still fairly strong recognition in the electorate. But Barnaby's had 3 years to dig himself in. And in terms of how people react to his behaviour, he's a bit like Donald Trump. those who don't support him think his behaviour is outrageous, and every time he says this kind of stuff, we think, oh, well, that must be the end of him. But his supporters actually quite like it, rather like Trump supporters, like the outrageous way that he behaves. So I'm not persuaded that that Barnaby's going to lose. It's possible. Most of the other candidates will preference Tony Windsor. So if he can come second or third, he might be able to get ahead of Barnaby Joyce. But I think given that Joyce has had 3 years to establish himself and he is Deputy Prime Minister, I think he'll be hard to beat. Rob Oakeshott is also trying to make a comeback.
Well, yeah, but his announcement speech was fortunately not 17 minutes.
No. Perhaps Oakeshott has learned the virtue of brevity, but he's also running in a different seat because his hometown of Port Macquarie has been moved from Lyon to Cowper, so he's running in Cowper. But he's not known in most of the rest of the electorate, so that's a problem for him.
Yeah. Now, for those of us out there who follow politics fairly closely, Parakilia is a company that provides services to Liberal members of Parliament. They pay a fee. There's been some pretty interesting discussion and content about this, yet it doesn't seem to be getting a lot of traction. I mean, it looks to me like it requires a bit of a closer investigation. Do you think it's going to come up on the radar some more, or is it perhaps because News Limited has a religious aversion to printing anything that's anti-government?
Well, the last point is true, but I think the real reason is that this kind of issue is, as you said at the start, an issue that concerns those of us who follow politics closely. I don't think it has much impact on what floating voters out in the marginal electorates think. We do constantly have to remind ourselves that Australian elections are decided by people who are not interested in politics. They are the floating voters. They get a very broad brush impression of Turnbull and Shorten, of Labor and Liberal. They don't follow elections closely. They're not interested in the kinds of issues that those of us who are inside the circle, as it were, find terribly important. So I think in terms of this becoming an election issue, I don't think it's going to. There obviously is a very big problem with the way political parties are funded in Australia. It's an invitation to corruption and to devices of this kind to channel money to parties. But I don't think it's an issue that's going to change any votes.
Adam, you were talking before about minor parties and how they're going to go this election. Darren Hinch and his Justice Party getting that prime spot on the Senate voting paper, what is that going to mean in sort of numbers in terms of, will it help him a lot?
Well, the Senate is now extremely difficult to predict because of the new voting system in the Senate. Parties can no longer automatically allocate their preferences as they did before, which is how all these very, very minor candidates managed to get elected. People like Ricky Muir, who polled 0.5% of the vote and got elected last time. The new system is designed to stop that. But if the candidate at the top of the ballot paper gets enough votes, they'll be elected, which is how David Lionhelm of the Liberal Democrats got elected in New South Wales last time. Now, Darren Hinch has very high name recognition in Victoria. Most people know who he is. Some of those people who know who he is hate him, so they're not going to vote for him. But a lot of other people admire him because they see him as the sort of guy who takes on the court system and criticises judges and exposes criminals, that's how he sees it, violates people's rights, is how other people see it. So, yes, he could poll very well. Whether he can get 7%, which is the double dissolution quota, I don't think it's possible to predict, but it's certainly possible that he could be elected. Yes.
Well, thanks, Adam. We're out of time, but we always look forward to talking to you. And I know you're going to be watching very closely on election night. Do you bite your fingernails, Adam?
Well, usually on election night, I'm scrutineering inside a polling booth for a while. And often by the time I finish doing that, the count is well advanced. So the solution to biting your fingernails is to keep yourself busy.
Yes.
That's what I try and do.
Great. Well, look, thanks again for your time. Always good to chat to you. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.